Hello, and welcome to Dressing Room Confidential, a podcast in which a sometimes working actor chats to working actors in their dressing rooms. I'm your host, Sean McConaughey, the sometimes working actor. And if you've listened to the last two episodes of DRC, you'll notice that I'm playing around with the format a bit. I had an intro with my buddy Dave in the first episode, had one with my lover, Dunla Hughes, in the second one. And this week, I think I'm gonna just kind of go straight into the chat, shake things up, see how it goes, you know, that kind of thing. So to that end, this week on DRC, I chat with my good friend Steve Leisk. Steve was doing an interesting job when I met up with him. He was understudying the lead part in the West End hit show One Man, Two Guvnors. Now, for some of you who might not know what an understudy is or what they do, an understudy is basically a standby, a substitute, if you will. Now, if you're cast as an understudy in a show, you usually have like a tiny part in the ensemble, moving furniture around or carrying a prop or something like that. And if the person you're understudying gets ill or gets injured or what have you, you're going on stage. And there was actually an interesting scenario a couple of weeks ago here in London when an actor in the Nationals production of King Lear lost his voice halfway through the show. On stage, mid-sentence, lost his voice. He was done. But, you know, the show had to kind of stop, but it also had to go on. And the young actor who was understudying that part, he had to take over. Another awesome anecdote, also from the National Theater, was when Daniel Day-Lewis was playing Hamlet. He had what can only be described as a psychotic episode on stage. Thought he literally saw the ghost of his recently deceased father in front of him. He ran off stage, refused to return. But luckily, a young talented actor named Jerry Northam was understudying the part, and he took over for pretty much the rest of the run. So that's a bit of background on understudying. And I went to the Haymarket where One Man, Two Guvnors was playing to sold out crowds to have a chat with Steve Leisk to see what his experience was preparing as an understudy and also what it was like for the first time to go out on stage in the lead part in front of 900 people. Here we go.
It's cool. It's only got one side though. So you can't go down the other stairs down the stage.
Right.
So you've all got to come down here. It's a really cool thing. And let me just look at all this shit.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Come this way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hi.
You know, mate.
What?
This is like the royal room.
What?
So this is like where, because it's the Royal Haymarket, they've got a royal room for the Queen when she comes to watch it. It's the royal box down there.
No.
Yeah.
That's the royal box.
Yeah.
Does that look out onto the stage?
Yeah.
Dude, they got speakers in the Queen's box, bro.
Yeah, but she sits upstairs because these are speakers for the band.
Amazing.
From radio, you know.
That's so rare.
We come in here and like watch the show sometimes. We just come in and chill out.
Yeah.
So
how's it going?
It's going amazing. Basically, the last 24 hours have been really weird. The show is like, I mean, I love that, like, the show's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it's the best thing I think I've ever, like, been in.
Yeah.
And it's weird because I knew about the show before I'd ever thought about seeing it.
Yeah.
Because I knew, obviously, because it was a big thing, like James Corden was in it. And then I saw it, and then I got an audition for it. And I was just like, I want.
So, what was the audition for? Was it just for, like,
audition was always to cover Francis.
So it always was.
Understudy Francis and ensemble. So ensemble is just scene changes. I do like cartwheels in a chase scene, and I do like a guy on a pier, and, you know, funny little sort of like cameo.
Did you have to audition for that?
I had to do a cartwheel in the audition. Yeah, ridiculous. Like, basically, it was the last thing. It's just like, oh, and before you go, can you do a cartwheel? Just like, oh, yeah, okay.
But you're pretty limber and acrobatic.
Yeah. That's what won it for me.
You were just like, batting an eye, you were just like,
yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Done.
Yes, I can. I'll just come and do that every day, actually, if you'd like, just want to pay me for just doing cartwheels on the Haymarket. It'd be amazing. Yeah.
So you always knew it was going to be an understudy role.
Yeah.
And then they were like, and so what happened when they did, they kind of go, here's the understudy, but then you can be in the ensemble as well?
Well, it was always,
was that always the
ensemble committee? Cover Francis.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, it's been running for 2.5 years, I think. Yeah, 2.5 years.
Yeah, it's
and it's always a set track. So, for instance, the understudy for Francis does this taxi driver. At the beginning, he does the double because you've got a double up in this chase.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Do the cartwheel. He's always done that. And Owen, who plays the lead now, did Mike Track.
Yeah.
You know, he did it for James Corden. He understudied James Corden. And it was always understanding that. So the main thing of the audition was doing the speech where he, and then the self-fight.
Mm-hmm.
Speech in Act 2, Scene 2, and a duologue scene with the character of Dolly.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to prepare those three scenes. So two monologues, a duologue.
For the audition?
For the audition, yeah.
Oh, man.
Did that with the resident director for the first round,
mm-hmm.
and Cartwheel and the casting directors. And then second round, when it was Recall, was with Adam Penford, who's the AD, original AD as well, yeah. Worked with Nick Heitner, and he directs this the new casts, and did the same again. I didn't do the fight for the self-fight monologue.
Right.
Because I decided to choreograph my own fight for it. I don't think they usually have people who would do that, and I think they just get to the point where it starts, and they start by choreographing this thing where I ran into a wall and then did a flip and fell on my back. And they were like, okay, cool, did you see that again? But we just thought, because I sort of got to the stage like last year during auditions, I said to myself, I always really sort of play it safe. So I started this year, just trying to do more interesting things in auditions to sort of stick out. A lot of it involved just moving around a lot more rather than being seated.
Yeah.
So I just thought this is a part which I really would love to play anyway, and I get to do it once in the understudy run, and I got to do it last night, which was a surprise kind of thing. Like, it was a surprise to be told like 2 weeks ago that you're going to go on.
Yeah.
I thought it's an opportunity to play a leading role in a West End play, which I'm not going to get. Like now, not at this early stage in sort of my career. I say early, 5 years.
Yeah, right.
But I thought, you know what? Like, it's a great opportunity, and it's a great show.
Yeah,
It hasn't been around for like 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a select number of people who've done it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a no-brainer working for the National. It's one of the. It's probably one of the best comedy shows I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And been in. So yeah.
And so, when they what was the process like? So once you get cast, because the show is up and running, and it's doing its thing, how do you slot into the rehearsals?
So the cast now is a mix of the previous West End cast that was in it through this year, and then the international tour cast. So I think all the ensemble are new, apart from Mensa, apart from one guy. Iwine, Kelly, Pete were all from the tour, and then all the rest of the cast were in the West End role. And Dominic, who plays Alan, is new.
Yeah.
He's the only new guy, and Angela is new as well. So those two are new. It was a three-week rehearsal.
3 weeks.
No, it was 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Because they'd all done it apart from Dominic and Angela.
But 2 weeks for you.
2 weeks for us to watch it, get to know our ensemble tracks and stuff.
Okay.
And then we'd watch it, observe it, and then have little rehearsals for us. And then we got an understudy week.
Right.
Rehearsal. And then it's all watching.
Yeah.
Just watching, watching every night. Also, Owen is really generous. He was an understudy, so he sort of is always like, you know, I don't mind if you want to watch the show, I don't mind if you want to ask me questions. So like, he's always really helpful, really nice to know. But I just spend my time watching the show,
right?
I'm at the side of the stage anyway for like scene changes and things. So watch the show. There's a big space out the back, and there's like, you can sort of hide behind these flats.
Mm-hmm.
So I just stand behind there and just run the lines as it's going on, so I can hear them saying.
Oh wow!
Because I've never understudied before, so it's an odd. I don't really know how to do it, but I just approach it, I guess, the same way as I do if it was a real job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a bit like doing like a showcase or something.
Mm-hmm.
You only get two chances to do it, maybe, so
sure,
might as well prepare in the same way. But yeah, we've got a week, and it's weird because it's all kind of plotted. There are rules, you know, there are things you have to exit this way.
Yeah.
You don't have to work it out, it's been running. And I thought it would be may be boring, like a bit like, oh, stand here because it says so.
Yeah.
It's not actually, it's brilliant because
yeah.
it takes all of the thought out of it because you go, okay, well, this is planned. I know it works.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to work on making it work rather than
yeah.
going, is this going to be funny? Because
yeah.
it goes,
yeah.
it is, and it's worked for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And it is funny. So yeah, it's kind of a 6-week rehearsal period condensed into one and a bit. Yeah. And then we got a week on stage when it came up, but yeah.
And so you did an understudy run.
Yeah, which was 3 weeks ago. No, hold on. Probably, no, I'm not, oh, we're in November now.
Yeah.
September.
Whoa.
So a while ago, so 6 weeks ago.
And was that with some of the other proper cast members, or are they all understudy people?
So six of us, and Sam Yates, who's the resident, didn't want any doubling up, so we all played it. And then Derek Elroy, who plays Lloyd, played Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
And Angela Griffin, who plays Dolly, played Dolly, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Really kind of, good of her. It's just cool because I get to do my scene with her.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I had the duologue with her last night. And it meant I'd already done it, kind of thing. So it's a nice thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was cool. And David Benson, who's been in the show, who also covers, he's been in it from the original cast.
Right.
He played his cover role, and he played Gareth as well, which
wow.
is his usual role. And it's just really nice. And Pete Caulfield, who plays Alfie, played Alfie in the second half.
Okay.
So Nadine, who's got a cover, two people, could just concentrate on playing.
So it's like you felt kind of safe, like you had...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also Sam is brilliant, because he's just all about being prepared. And what's really nice, because you kind of think, as Ian said, Ian Burfield, who plays Charlie. He said that when he was younger, understudies were usually, you know, you sort of just go there, just in case the worst thing happened. You sort of dread them going on.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's, yeah. Like, and that's like kind of like a. I was like, oh,
you dread them.
Yeah. I was like, oh, thanks, Ian. He said, but now it's, you know, you're all hungry for it. You
yeah.
all want to do it, and you're all talented guys, and we now look forward to you doing it because it's a different energy, it's a different
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
And Sam Yates was always just like, I feel like we're not preparing understudies, we've just got a really good second option, which is nice to have. It's kind of like being on a subs bench, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
just
yeah,
going,
yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, I'll go on for the last 10 minutes, I don't mind.
Kind yeah.
of thing. And we've had all kinds of, we've had people knowing they've been going on for weeks, we've had people going on literally on the day, we've had like a mix of stuff. I knew that I was going on for 2 weeks ago. I knew that Sophie found out last week. She was going 2 weeks ago that she was just going on.
Yeah,
and then she
yeah.
was on for the next 3 days just because of illness.
Right. And so when you get when you got that notification,
yeah.
were you kind of like, or was it more like,
no, I was excited.
You were like, right,
yeah,
everything has been prepped. I'm ready
yeah.
to go. Now
yeah.
it's my, you know, fine tuning this thing.
Yeah, it was just like, so I got rehearsal.
Chomping at the bit. Yeah.
I got rehearsal yesterday. And I just really worked hard on watching the show when I could, listening, running the lines, catching moments when I could, running it with the other guys who are covering in my dressing room.
Yeah.
Just because I've got 2 weeks to sort 2 weeks to sort of sort it out and
yeah.
just go, right, well, I've got 2 weeks, that's loads of time to prepare.
Yeah.
And then just do it, kind of thing.
Paid audience.
Yeah, it's terrifying, paid audience. Like, terrifying. Like 200 people in the understudy run. It's nothing when it's like 900,000 people. It's weird. Like, just the stalls, then it turns into fucking like three things. It's like lots of people.
Yeah.
So
how many
people.
Seats does that hold?
I think it's about 900. 900 odd. So it's crazy.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of time when I'm on stage alone, talking directly to the audience interaction.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's just like last night was probably the most fun I've ever had in my life.
Really?
Show. Yeah. I was really scared for the understudy run. And I convinced myself over the last 2 weeks, I was like, I want to enjoy it. I want to remember it. I
yeah.
want to come
yeah.
off stage and go,
yeah.
whew, I got through that. That was great.
Because yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to get to do it again. So
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
I want to enjoy it. It's going to be good. So, and it, I had such a good time last night. It was probably the best, most fun I've ever had doing, like, being performing.
Yeah.
Since, like, possibly the first couple of things we did in our first rep shows at drama school.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
and it was electric.
Yeah. I mean, sort of the first time you ever do go on stage and play a part that you really want to play.
Yeah.
Like, and you go, wow, that's how it's meant to feel. Mm-hmm. I sort of had that now, again, last night. Because you sort of, since graduating, you don't always get the jobs you want, you don't always get the parts you want, mm-hmm. parts that you think you should have, parts that you want to really desperately fight for. And then doing this, it's like sort of fell into place. And last night I was reminded about, actually, this is really good fun. Mm-hmm. And I've been given this opportunity, so just do it, because it's a great, great thing.
Yeah.
And it's a great, great show to be a part of as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's tailor-made for you as well. It's it's comedy, it's farce, it's like a lot of physical movement.
It's silly,
and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I remember back when we did Caucasian Chalk Circle, which was very much in that same sort of ballpark that.
It's basically, I waited 5 years to basically leave drama school to do something like this.
And this is a storied kind of understudied part, because like you said, like, what's his name?
Iwine Arthur,
because he understudied James Corden.
Yeah.
And then when Corden left, everyone was kind of like, what? Yeah. The show's dead. And then people were just like, nah.
Yeah, he was amazing. Basically, this dude he got four dates, proper. And then the show was going to Broadway,
mm-hmm.
and he went on, and then he came off, and then Nicholas Hunt was like, "We want you to take it over for the transfer when it carries on to Haymarket, and then go on the tour."
Dope.
And he did it on the tour, international tour, like around the world, like Australia and stuff, America, Canada, everywhere. And Rufus Hand did it in town, and then now he's got to come back and do it again, and he's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's so good because he's, you sort of feel like, obviously not take anything away from anyone else or anything, but like you sort of go, he's an actor, like you feel like he's sort of one of the guys, like an ensemble guy.
Yeah,
was an ensemble guy.
Yeah,
he got bumped up.
Yeah,
that's kind
of
like the dream, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, just a chance to do that part in that show it's just kind of a no-brainer, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's a great thing, great feeling.
And so what kind of prep do you do, not necessarily for the show that you did yesterday, but just in general when you show up to the theatre, do you do any kind of prep?
It's always a warm up. I get in about
group warm up.
Group warm up always together. I always go, even though obviously I don't have a huge amount, my ensemble track isn't huge, it's a good way of seeing everyone in the theatre. So I always get in about between 5:30 and 6.
Yeah.
Because I like the theatre, I like the dressing room, it's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Got lots of stuff up there, sit and read for a bit,
mm-hmm.
listen to some music. Then come downstairs, go to the warm up, say hi to everyone.
Yeah.
Come upstairs, have a bit of dinner, and then, you know, usually warm up finishes by 1:45, so 10 minutes of dinner or whatever, and start, get dressed at the quarter, and then sort of go on stage and let's do it. I mean, I love going to warm up anyway, because it's a really nice chance to see everyone, and just an excuse just to sort of go, I'm working now. Last Tuesday I missed all of that because I was stuck on a train for 3 hours. There's someone jumped in front of the train, so I missed it. And like, it's the first time I've ever missed the beginning of a show in my life. And
you didn't even make the beginning?
I didn't make the beginning. I got into the theatre as David was going on for what I'd normally do. So, and I just was like, I like felt so stressed the rest of the evening. You feel like you've betrayed something. It's really odd. So it's not nice to be rushed. So I quite like to get in early and relax into it and be in the building.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful building as well. And everyone is really nice.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm quite excited about coming to work every day.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it. I like it a lot.
And do you guys like, because it's such a fast show, do you guys do any like games that facilitates that?
We don't actually. Maybe it's to do because everyone knows each other quite well, and we've all quite bonded quite well as a company, that we don't necessarily need to. It's odd that we don't do that, but I think there's a really nice feeling in the cast. There's music in the show, the band The Craze as well. There's a great band and the music's amazing. And usually at the beginning of the show, everyone's dancing backstage before the show.
Nice, man.
So there's lots of people singing backstage. So it's like, I don't think there's like a game sort of element of it. I think it's just everyone is really excited to do the show every night. Everyone's always dancing around at the beginning, always singing.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's singing in between the scenes when the songs are on.
Yeah.
It's a lovely sort of positive energy backstage. So maybe the reason why we don't do that is because it kind of exists. I'm sure if it was a company that was sort of fractured in any way, people didn't get along, you might have to do that. It would be encouraged. But it's a very happy company. So.
Yeah.
I don't think that's probably the reason why we don't do it, but it's odd that we don't. But
yeah.
I think I mean, that's the most positive reason to say that. Or we're just lazy. More interested in going to watch something on your iPad.
So what time do you have to start getting ready? Is it right about now?
At the quarter. I don't know if I don't get a call in here, but...
You might be coming up on the quarter.
So I've got 5 minutes. I've got five minutes.
So what is... So how long are you doing this gig for?
Till March the 1st. It finishes on March the 1st.
Woo!
Yeah, so it's a nice long...
That's nice!
Since August. Longest job I've ever had.
That's good.
It's nice.
There's a possibility of re-upping and staying on, or is it kind of like...
I mean, there's there is a tour. Can I say that? Am I allowed to say if there's a tour?
There's potentially a tour.
It's on the website, so...
Oh, yeah.
So I can. There's a tour. Don't know
how that's going to work
at the moment, but I'm just concentrating on this. I mean, come March the 1st, I know that on March... I imagine on Sunday the 2nd I'll be hungover, and then I imagine, and then on the 3rd, on the Monday, I'll be just unemployed.
Yeah.
So whatever happens, I know that I'm possibly going to have to start trying to find any kind of work through like January and February. So, I'm just enjoying doing this.
Yeah.
I don't want to wish it away. It's odd having so much structure again.
Yeah.
Like sort of freelancing or working in a pub or like teaching on the weekend
I've been
doing over the last few years, but like, you know, it's
so that's all the stuff that you had been doing before this.
I've been doing a lot of teaching on weekends,
which
is cool, but it means I've no weekends. And then very little to no catering. Playing gigs, just anything that pays. Workshops. What else is there? You know, pretending to be, you know, fucking like a depressed soldier in a fucking role playing thing. You know, anything to try and get a bit of money. Gardening, which I really enjoy because it's outside. You know, just anything. So it's nice to go 7 months.
Oh my god!
I'm just doing this, but I find that in the daytimes I can get bored.
Antsy.
Yeah.
You just get really antsy.
So my friend was just like, "Oh, do you wanna just come and work in my cafe?" I was like, "I kind of do. Yeah, I just kind of want to get out of the house."
Yeah,
because you can just go, "Oh, I just don't need to do anything till 6. I'll leave the house at 4. Maybe get in early, get a coffee, maybe sit down, read a book." You just go, "Oh, what am I doing in the daytime?" Because the risk is then you stay in bed all the time.
Yeah,
and you just go, "What am I doing?" I've got a friend who's been is a techie. He's been working for 6 years. In town, he doesn't get up till 2. And it's like, what are you doing? Get up. Just go and do something. Have a walk. And that's like, I don't want that to happen to me. I want to. I've been doing a lot more writing and stuff, so I'm trying to do stuff.
Yeah.
Actively to do things.
Yeah.
But like, I get bored in the day because I just go, oh, I should be doing something.
And it's very easy to also do the nightlife thing where you go out afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, find these pits that you end up at 3 in the morning. Yep.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But yeah.
No, it's tempting because you sort of go, I don't have to work till like 7 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, even have to be in the building till 5 to 7 if I have to be.
Yeah.
Like, that is dangerous. But I don't know, I'm always quite strict with myself. And we're quite good, the guys of us upstairs. We're just like, I'll go out this week, want to go out, you know, maybe go out on... I mean, I don't like going out on Saturday nights.
Okay.
I don't think I ever have, really.
Yeah.
But like, because Sunday's a day off. I don't want to be hungover. I want to use it for something.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy my day off.
Yeah.
You know, don't go out on matinee day because it's just a terrible, terrible idea.
Yeah, bad.
Like, oh, I've got to do this twice now and I can't even breathe anymore. Yeah. Whereas...
I don't even know my name.
What do I do? I've got a cartwheel now. It's going to be a Catherine wheel of vomit. Oh, you just. I mean, I'm sweaty anyway. You know I'm sweaty because I'm essentially 80% hair. Fucking like, if I start sweating, and this is a hot building anyway.
Yeah.
Like, just I just won't stop, and that doesn't help when you're full of beer. Like what beer and. Fucking Donna regret for that.
On that note,
that's the dangers of having a 7-month job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how many days will you do this?
How many days?
Yeah, so is it like, or how many performances?
Eight performances
a week.
Eight performances a week, so Monday to Saturday,
yep.
Two on Wednesday, two on Saturday,
yep.
Sunday off, and all of that until March the 1st. So, yeah, I mean, a couple of us have been on.
Yeah.
I think every other week, so 2 weeks went by without anyone going off, and then every other week, now someone's gone on, which is really cool. Hi, Lauren. It's Lauren.
Hi, Lauren.
She's from the town.
Every other week someone's gone on.
Yeah.
And it, which is great for us because it's really exciting.
Yeah.
Sort of like, because you go, that's cool. And I've never run a solo before, so I was scared that it was going to be a bit like, you're not properly part of the company, but you are.
Yeah.
And it's a lovely thing. And I think if it's
that,
the right job, you should definitely do it.
Because
I was always a bit hesitant. I'd tell me to do it.
Yeah.
I'll get the part.
Oh, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
But it's terrifying. You get less time to do it, but you get more chance to watch it. And it's really useful watching because you then have to make snap decisions yourself and go, okay, well, I'll have to do it that way because that's the way it works.
Yeah.
It's weird. I mean, last night, when I was doing the lines, there was a point where I was like, finding a balance between hearing what I hear every night and then me trying to translate it to myself.
You know what it's like? It's almost like back in the day when they had like apprenticeship, when you joined like a rep company as a young actor and you just like you worked your way up.
Absolutely.
And like you understudied one of the greats and like you try to do you try to, you know, mimic or try to do what they're doing and learn so much and all the rest of it.
That's kind of what it is. It's kind of like an apprenticeship program.
Badass, man.
It's cool. It's a nice thing. And it helps that everyone is really supportive. And last night, everyone was so supportive.
Yeah,
like,
just... Did your folks get to see? Did they come?
Yeah, I had like 30 people.
No!
30-odd people. My parents and like my agent. And they brought people. And I had like my friend's mum. Like, my friend Alex, he couldn't come, but his mum went instead. Like, just like... I had like 32 people. Like, dattered around the...
Do you know his mum?
I know her.
All right.
Alex, she's Mrs. Coppard. That's like... Do you know what I mean? Like, but it's amazing. There's so many people... like interested in what you do.
I
just never know if I'm going to get to do it again, so I was just like, blanket, you know, come if you want to come, please come, you know. And then it was only like 2 seconds before I went, oh shit, there's a lot of people out there who know me. What an idiot. On stage.
Well, congratulations, man.
No, it's cool. It's a cool
what
film.
A gig.
It's a really good film.
And should we hope that you get to go on again?
Hopefully. I don't know if I am, but as soon as I find out, I will again send out a
We'll do a massive broadcast.
Facebook, everything, to try and get it on the air.
All right. You want to sign off?
Yes.
Tell everybody who you are, what the name of the show is, what your character is.
My name is Stephen Leask. The show is One Man, Two Governors at the Haymarket Theatre, and I am Ensemble and Cover Francis.
Booyah. There it is. Out.
All right, there it is. There it was. My chat with Steve Leask. And sorry for the delay getting this latest episode up. There was a bit of a break in between this one and the last one. It's just because I was actually doing a job. I was doing secret cinema here in London, and I blew out my voice, so I didn't want to show up on the podcast sounding all raspy and hoarse. The next one should be with you guys next week. I'm going to be chatting with John Trindle when he was performing in Warhorse. So look forward to that. Please like the Facebook page. Please follow me, Sean McConaughey, on Twitter. That's at Sean McConaughey. And no, it's not spelled like Matthew McConaughey. And also follow at DRC on Twitter as well. You'll get the latest updates. And that's about it for me. Sean Mac, DRC, out.